So we began a message series last week entitled Hope After Church Hurt. Hope After Church Hurt. And so we're diving into this series in partnership with one of my very best friends on planet Earth, Pastor Joe Dobbins. He actually wrote a book on this subject, and it was amazing to kind of sit back and watch it soar up the bestseller list on Amazon among the Christian category. And seeing that happen really kind of just confirmed for me that this is a subject that a lot of people are struggling with. This is a subject that people are curious about, and this is a subject that people need help understanding. And so Joe has been cool about helping tremendously and being able to establish some content to really just address this thing. Hope after church hurt. Hope after church hurt. Do you know that statistics and research now says that 65 million people have stopped attending church? That's just in the United States of America. 65 million people who used to attend church no longer do. And when you dive into that research and you begin to ask those people why, the resounding answer is hurt. Church hurt. When you dive even deeper, one of the things that comes further out is people can express that the thing that they may have been the most hurt by is hypocrisy. That's what we want to talk about this morning, is healing from hypocrisy. There was a Planet Fitness location that decided to get creative with their marketing scheme, and they developed this ad campaign that was called Free Pizza Friday. And for anybody that became a member of that Planet Fitness, when you came to work out on Friday, they would give you free pizza. Is anyone else confused? Because I've already applied to be a personal trainer there, because I'm thinking if that can work, I'm your guy. Can you imagine driving by a workout center and seeing somebody chewing on a piece of pizza while they're running on a treadmill? I mean, you just don't really mix exercise and a slice of pepperoni with extra cheese. That's confusing. I think there's a lot of people that have looked in at the church world and been equally confused, because they've seen some things that just don't seem to make sense. For instance, that buddy in the small group, he shares and he prays and he quotes scripture, but then he cheats on his wife. And then there's the married woman who, she's on the serve team and she's always serving, but yet she's texting an old flame from high school or college. And then there's the student that is always posting scriptures, but also parties excessively and cheats on tests or posts questionable things on social media. Or there's the boss who's always talking real spiritual, but then treats employees horrifically. Or there's the friend that is like, appears to be so godly, but then is always gossiping, always stirring something up, always sowing seeds of discord. Or there's the church leader that you see on a platform and maybe they're even declaring the word of the Lord, but then you'll see them out and they're super rude or mean to a cashier or a waiter or a waitress. And it's confusing, because these things ought not be. Now, let me be clear. Hypocrisy is not when someone makes a mistake. That's humanity, not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when we claim to practice moral standards, but our own behaviors do not conform. So we're all going to make mistakes. That's not hypocrisy. It becomes hypocrisy when there's something habitual, there's something perpetual, there's something that is reoccurring, and you're claiming to be one thing, or that person is claiming to be one thing, and then there's a very different thing that seems to be played out over and over again. You might say it this way: hypocrisy is when our public persona does not match up with our private character. And it's not a new problem in the church. In fact, when you open up the New Testament and you turn to the book of Acts, it shows us the foundational stages of God's church on earth. And it's quite intriguing to notice that the first real attack that ever happened to the church is hypocrisy. I mean, if I was making a guess, I would have guessed it would have been like somebody messed up sexually or somebody taught false doctrine or somebody got offended. But the first real attack in the setting of a church is directly connected to hypocrisy. And here's how it transpires. It's recorded in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. And there's this guy named Barnabas, and he has become quite well known in the initial stages because he is an encourager and he's considered to be extremely generous. And so because he's a real encourager and because he's very generous, he starts to be elevated in the church and he actually reaches the position of leadership. In fact, this is the way he's described. Barnabas was from the tribe of Levi, and he came from the island of Cyprus, and he sold a field that he owned, and he brought all the money, and he gave it to the apostles to further the church. And so this guy's being raised up in leadership. And evidently, there were other people in the church that they saw this, and they thought, well, wait a second. If being generous is working for Barnabas, then maybe it'll work for me. And so there's a man named Ananias and his wife is named Sapphira, and they concoct this plan of like, well, we don't really want to be generous, but we'll give the illusion that we are if it'll cause us to gain clout with the church people. And their story unfolds in Acts chapter 5. It says, but there was a certain man named Ananias who with his wife Sapphira sold some property, and he brought part of the money to the apostles, and he claimed that it was the full amount. And with his wife's consent, he kept the rest. And then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or to not sell. You could have done whatever you wanted to do. And after selling it, the money was still yours. You could have kept it or you could have given it away. How could you do something like this? You were not lying to us, but you were lying to God. And as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and he died. So what happens next is his wife comes in. They take her through the same line of questioning and she also dies. So here you have this couple that they've seen somebody else be elevated for a particular thing. And now they decide, I want to be elevated as well, but I don't really want to make the sacrifice. So I'm going to claim to be something that I'm not. And God judged it. And you're like, well, how could a merciful God do something that's so extreme? It seems to me that the Lord was trying to get the early church to be scared to death of hypocrisy. In fact, it seemed to work. In Acts 5, it says, great fear gripped the entire church and everyone who heard what had happened. When you think about hypocrisy, it's important to notice that in our society, in our culture, authenticity is a fading quality. And pretense has actually become a cultural norm. And so here's the deal. We are no longer surprised by scandals. We almost expect them. And we've become too comfortable with partial truths. And everywhere, integrity is suffering. But I think what we have to remember is that integrity still matters to God. And God's not looking for perfection, but he won't tolerate pretending. Because God knows the damage that hypocrisy causes. There was a man by the name of Brennan Manning, and he made this statement. I think it's quite profound. He said, the single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him with their lifestyle. This is what an unbelieving world simply finds to be unbelievable. I tend to agree. And I think when we evaluate this, we have to recognize that hypocrisy sucks the power out of the church. It destroys the unity of marriages. It ruins the reputation of businesses. It births resentment in children. Hypocrisy. I was, several years ago, I was in Atlanta. I was doing street ministry. And there's this place in downtown Atlanta that's called the Tabernacle. It used to be a church. The church failed. That building was purchased by a concert venue. And they host different rock singers. And they typically have quite a dark vibe to them. On one particular instance, they were hosting Marilyn Manson. You may or may not know who that is, but back in the day, he was quite famous, and he was kind of known to really be associated with dark music. He even publicly pretty much acknowledged that he had embraced Satanism. And when we went into this setting, the way it worked is people had to buy a ticket to get in the door, And then once you got in the door, you could sit wherever you wanted. So people were lining up very early to get the best seats. In fact, the concert started really late that evening, and already early that morning they were lined up, and by lunchtime they were lined up for blocks. And so we took water, bottles of water, and we were going around, we were meeting people, we were passing out this water and just starting conversations, talking to people, hearing their stories. I met one young man, and I asked him, I was like, well, like, why do you follow Marilyn Manson? Like, why would you pay all this money for a ticket, get here this early, stand here in this crazy heat, in this black trench coat, and wait to experience this? Like, why do you follow Marilyn Manson, especially to this level? He said, because Marilyn Manson tells the truth. I said, well, wait a second, man, what's the truth? He said that all Christians are hypocrites. And I said, now you really got to wait a second, because, man, you don't know me. You don't know if I'm a hypocrite or not. He said, I don't have to know you. I know my parents. And I've never forgotten that conversation of a young man had chosen to pursue darkness because of the hypocrisy that he had been exposed to regarding his parents. I believe that God has called us to live a holy life. And you hear that and immediately you assume, okay, there's this list of rules that I got to follow. I got to dress a certain way, etc. Really, the biblical definition of holiness looks quite different. When you really begin to study what God's trying to communicate through holiness, I think he would try to make us aware that we all have three lives. We have a public life, we have a private life, and we have a secret life. The public life is we're out here with everybody, that's public. Private is when you're home, you're with your family, you're with your closest friends. But your secret life, that's the part of you that's hidden from everybody. And when you embrace holiness, what you're saying is that you are the same in public as you are in secret. You're the same in public as you are in private. When you embrace holiness, what you're saying is that those three lives are being fused together. They're being integrated into one another, and that what you profess is no different than what you practice. It means that you're giving yourself wholly to God. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Wholly to God. When you begin to give yourself wholly to God, you start to have peace that passes understanding. Why? Because nothing's hidden. When you start to give yourself wholly to God, you start to really feel the calling of God upon your life. Why? Because there's nothing restricting you being empowered by the Holy Spirit. You give yourself wholly to God, you start to experience the blessing of God in a brand new way. Why? Because you're walking in sync with God's plan for your life. But I get it. Like, we have all been hurt by hypocrisy. Some way, some shape, some form, some fashion, we've been hurt. In fact, even in dealing with this subject, like, I get it. Some of you that are younger, you could kind of start to check out because you're like, I don't really know that this applies to me. And yet you've already had to acknowledge that perhaps even your parents' hypocrisy has messed with you. In 24 years of pastoral ministry, when people have expressed hurt in regards to hypocrisy, it has most often come from younger people rather than older people, even young people in college ministry or in youth ministry that are saying, I saw this, I heard this, I was exposed to that, and it made me be hurt because I expected something different. I don't know what your experience has been like. But my buddy Joe, he tells a story about one of his friends, and he kept trying to get his friend to come to church, and he wanted to see his friend get saved, and he just wouldn't come. And then his friend hit rock bottom. He lost his job, he lost his wife, he lost his family, and he winds up as an adult having to move into the house with his mother. But his mom tells him, the only way you can live with me is you gotta go to church with me. And so he starts going to church, and he actually enjoyed it. And he enjoyed it so much, he actually dedicated his life to God. He experienced salvation. And then he starts to meet people in the church. And what he was shocked by is some of the first leaders that he was introduced to were actually people from his not-so-distant past who had been with him in inappropriate places, and he never had any idea about their Christianity. He simply knew them in their sin. And instantly, like, there was this anger that came over this guy, and he was frustrated, and he was aggravated, and he's, like, confused by the hypocrisy. And it's highly likely that you've had something like that happen in your life at some point, and it disappoints you. And if you're not careful, the disappointment will lead to you being disconnected. And when you get disconnected, it happens because you don't trust and you don't open up and you're cynical that anyone who claims to be a follower of Christ is not really living it out. And then you get stuck because you want to follow Jesus, but you don't really like his people. And what we learned last week is that if you are following Jesus, he's going to lead you to his people, because the only thing he's still building on earth is his church, and he has designed you for community. Can I get an amen from somebody? And so if we're going to heal this hurt that comes from hypocrisy, one of the things that we need to do is we need to recalibrate our expectations. We need to recalibrate our expectations. Because here's the thing. Expectations are not a bad thing. It's not bad to say to somebody, I expect this of you. But what can happen is our expectations become unrealistic. And one of the reasons that they become unrealistic is because we are not willing to give the grace to someone else that we will give to ourselves. So let me explain what that looks like. I've had an interesting morning. There's been some challenges. I was preaching in one service, and the building was packed from one side to the other, and all the lights went off. And they didn't want to come back on. And it kind of made me cranky. And then I got in the car and I was driving from one location to the next, and the hatch on the back of the SUV just opens up. And my briefcase just goes sliding towards the... And it wasn't the best feeling, considering I was running behind to get to the next location, and different things happen. So, you know, when I go eat lunch today and I get cranky with the waitress, I got an excuse, because I've had a bad morning. Y'all look so holy with those halos sitting crooked on your horns. But if I watched you do something not so nice, you know, I'd probably be like, the audacity that they have to act that way, what is wrong with them? They need to get their heart right with God, bunch of hypocrites. Because what happens is that we give ourselves grace when we excuse it and we justify it, but we're not willing to give that same grace to somebody else. And one of the most significant signs of spiritual maturity is that you are willing to give the same grace to somebody else that you give to yourself. I'll give you another way to heal from the hurt of hypocrisy is to return to God's calling for you. To return to God's calling for you. Because when you get hurt, you tend to retract. You start to distance yourself from the purpose of God and the destiny that God has given you and the calling that he's put on your life. But can I just point out to you that when we allow others' actions to be the reason for our disengagement, we have placed too much power in someone else's hands. And I'm not trivializing your trauma, but not growing with God because of someone else's hypocrisy is crazy to me. Like, why would I miss out on God's best because someone else was at their worst? I had this relative who was struggling with going to church, and the reason was because they had seen so much hypocrisy in the church, they just kind of washed their hands of it, and they're like, I don't even want to be a part of that anymore. And so every time that you invited them to church, you would kind of get this really negative response. And one of the favorite responses was, I ain't going to church. It ain't nothing but full of a bunch of hypocrites. And one day my uncle in reply said, well, you got a decision to make, honey. You can either go to church with them or you can go to hell with them. And I invited my uncle to preach this morning, but he wasn't available. Am I making sense to anybody on a Sunday morning? That it's, there is going to be hypocrisy in church settings. Jesus warned us about it. Jesus told us it was going to transpire. And we have to have an awareness that not only recalibrates our expectations, but at the same time causes us to return to God's calling, that nothing distances us from God's calling. Another way that we can heal from the hurt of hypocrisy is to remember God sees everything. And that's not only going to help you regarding the hypocrisy that others are displaying, but it also will help you with your own hypocrisy. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." God knows us inside and out. He knows every action. He knows every thought. He knows every motive. He knows every mistake. He knows our habits. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the very words that you're going to speak before they even roll off of your tongue. God knows all of our business. And that can either be frightening or it can be comforting. It can be comforting because we come to know that God loves us in spite of our worst, but it can be frightening when we come to realize how much of a low tolerance God really has for hypocrisy. And so none of us can think that we are an exception to a rule when it comes to hypocrisy. You got to be really careful thinking that you're going to be able to outwit God. Because God will never bless who you pretend to be. But he will open the windows of heaven over who he created you to be. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God says if someone will come into sync with his commandments and walk them out, he will bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you coming and going, make you the head and not the tail, and every enemy that raises his hand against you will be smitten by the Lord your God. That's Deuteronomy 28. On the other hand, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, hypocrites, those of you who are religious in formality only, you are nothing but a bunch of whited sepulchers who are beautiful on the outside but are full of dead men's bones on the inside. So I'm just going to ask you, which way do you want it? You want Deuteronomy 28 or do you want Matthew 23? I think we're all going to sign up for Deuteronomy 28. And what that means is that we got to come into sync with God's plan for our life and stop pretending to be something that we're not. So how do you get healed from the hurt of hypocrisy? Here's another thing. You regain strength by coming clean. You regain strength by coming clean. Time magazine did this story on this service that began to be provided several years ago. And the way it worked is there was this number and you would pay to call in. When you called in, you were given the ability to confess anything with no repercussions. And so it started getting 10,000 calls a day. And people were confessing stuff like marital infidelity and murder. And you're like, well, why would anybody pay to confess something? Because hypocrites have heavy souls. And the reason is because fake is exhausting. And you can try medicating it, you can try escaping it, you can try justifying it, but the only way you will regain your strength is by confessing it. And there is healing for you in the confession. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You know, when I first got started in ministry, people would come in and, you know, you have a lot of different conversations and people sometimes just need to get stuff off their chest and people would confess things and I would almost be like, really? For real? You? 24 years in, it's like, oh. Let's pray about that. I've talked to so many pastors who have experienced the same thing that really what you start to realize is that humanity's messed up. We're all sinners in need of grace. And whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that you're afraid to confess, you're probably not the first person to ever deal with that specific issue. The question is whether or not you are going to be brave enough to be healed. Because there is healing on the other side of your confession. Fifth thing I'll share with you this morning is refuse to return to hiding. refuse to return to hiding. Hypocrisy is deadly. It kills marriages, it kills families, it kills workplaces, it kills churches, it kills your faith. Authenticity, on the other hand, receives God's grace. It brings life and it attracts the right kind of attention from the world. And I believe that it is one of the reasons that the early church grew the way that it did. I want you to see something that is really important to notice. It's a description of the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says, "And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, and praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to the number of those who were being saved daily." So every single day this church is growing, and the point that is made is that it has favor with all people, and the description of the people is that they had sincere hearts. They had sincere hearts. Their hearts were authentic. And God could use that. And God could bless that. And God could add to his church because of that. That word sincere is important. Because in the early Roman Empire, those people became extremely infatuated with Greek statues and Greek sculptures. At that time, they were already centuries old. And so because they had such value, there were different vendors that would seek out these statues, these sculptures, and they would try to sell them. Well, sometimes because of the age, these works of art would get cracks in them. They would be damaged. And so savvy vendors came up with the idea that they would put wax in the cracks and disguise the fact that the marble was damaged. Well, after someone would purchase it, the problem was is that over the course of time, the wax would turn yellow and you would realize that you had been a victim of fraud. And so vendors who were trying to present a true item, true Greek art, began to put this advertisement alongside of whatever they were offering for sale. Sine Sera. Sine Sera. What it means is without wax. That there's no wax in these cracks. There's no wax trying to cover the damage. And that from that term, sine sera, is where we get the word sincere. And so when you read God describing a sincere heart, is what he's saying is it is a heart without wax. It's a heart that's not trying to, in a fake, false, pretense way, cover up what's wrong with it. Or to cover up the cracks and the damage. It is a heart that is willing to be fully exposed before the throne of God and say, "God, I'm not everything I want to be, but by your grace, I'm not who I used to be." And you stand before God and his people in an authentic way. As they begin to play music, something that sticks out from the New Testament age is that the word that actually developed for hypocrisy is a word that means theatrical mask. It's a term that designates, I'm going to cover up who I really am and I'm going to pretend to be something else. I don't know which resonates with you the most, whether it's the mask or it's the wax, but I can tell you this, the Lord wants you to come before him this morning with a heart of sincerity. And I believe that when God finds a group of church people who are willing to be authentic in their faith and sincere in their hearts, that church will experience a growth that only God can get the credit for. Because the Lord will have found a group of people that are not willing to settle for pretense and hypocritical behavior. And so one of the reasons that we all need to deal with our own personal hypocrisy is because we don't want to hurt someone else because of it. Because if you yourself have been hurt by hypocrisy, you understand how painful it can be. So why would you continue on in anything other than a sincere heart before the Lord? And so this morning, here in just a moment, we're gonna sing a really old song. It's called "The Heart of Worship." And it just testifies that I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm stripping off anything and everything that has covered me in wax. Because some of us really need to do just an evaluation right now. Like, how much wax do you actually have on your life right now? God, without wax. without wax, Lord. There's a guy named David in Scripture. You've probably heard of him. One of the greatest kings to ever live. He took the head off of a giant. He was so great in battle that they sung about him and said he's killed tens of thousands with his own hands. It's a bad dude. But in Psalm 55, he talks about the hurt that he experienced in a worship setting. And this is exactly how he says it. He says, I could have stood it if it had not been a worshiper who did me wrong. This man who could take the head off of giants, this man who was not afraid to run into battle, said the most painful thing I've experienced in my life is to be hurt by the hypocrisy of another worshiper. It wounded David deeply. Well, if it affected a giant killer, you can guarantee it's going to affect me and you. And today is a moment where we transparently come before the Lord and we just simply acknowledge that when honesty starts, hypocrisy stops. And it's time to get honest before the Lord. And so I don't know why you've chosen to hide your struggle. For some people, it's pride. You want to be admired. For other people, it's shame. You don't want to be judged. For other people, it's fear. You know the damage that the truth would do. But the path to healing is the same for every single person. To say, God, honesty starts today. And as that honesty starts, sincerity opens up a pathway for the Lord to do what only He can do. So, Father, we bow our hearts and minds before You right now. And Lord, there's people under the sound of my voice that have never experienced salvation. They've never been born again. And it is a direct result of hypocrisy that they've been exposed to. It affected them. It drove them away. But God, today they're putting on the brakes. They're stopping right where they're at. And there's an admission to You that they recognize sin in their life. That, Lord, they didn't love You more than anything or anyone or anything else. And that is sin. It's a breaking of Your command. They didn't love other people more than themselves, and that is sin. It's a breaking of Your command. And so, Lord, we ask You right now that You would forgive us of sin. We believe that because of the bloodshed of Your Son on the cross, that You're willing to do it. And now, God, we ask You for the courage that we would confess to anybody and everybody that we are saved and we know it. We are a follower of Jesus for the rest of our life. But God, I also pray for people that walked in this room knowing that they have a relationship with You, but they're hurt. They're hurt. God, somebody's hypocrisy led to their hurt. They expected more from that individual. They never dreamed that something like that would happen. They put so much confidence in that individual, in that relationship, and now they're hurt. And so, Lord, I ask You, that You would reach further down than they can reach up, and You would begin to just go to work on binding up their broken heart. At the same time, Lord, there's others of us that, if we're honest and we allow Your Holy Spirit to really examine us, and Lord, we've hurt other people because of our own hypocrisy. We've messed up. We've made mistakes. Some of it's been perpetual. Some of it's been habitual. We've just excused our attitude, our behavior, our personality. And Lord, we thank You for the conviction of the Holy Spirit that today brings us to an authentic place, saying, I'm done pretending to be something I'm not. And with sincerity, Lord, I ask You to remove all the wax and start afresh in my life. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This church said, amen.